get to the table of the Lord in just a few minutes. In Psalm 103, here's what the scripture says, that we should bless the Lord, O my soul. When's the last time you did that? I mean, you had a soul expression of blessing to the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Have you stopped to make a list, at least mentally, of all the good things God has done and is doing, and the positives, not just the negatives? Because again, our default old nature is negativity. It just wants to ride in that direction. Get those lenses back on. Start looking through your spiritual eyes and be thankful for all God has done for you. Amen? Forget not all his benefits. And he lists a couple of very important ones, two priority ones, who forgives all your iniquities. Say that, all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Father, thank you. Oh my goodness, thank you. That's beyond our expectations. Sometimes we have a hard time wrapping our brain around that. How do you forgive all of our iniquities? How big is your heart? How big is our God that he can take all of those evil things that have emanated from us and put them under the cover of the blood of his son and wash us and take our diseases and the brokenness that's been acquired on this planet because of rebellion and our attitudes and our actions, and then give us temporary respite by healing and restoring and renewing us to extend our lives and give us new opportunities? How do we say thank you except to say, I want to serve you to the best of my ability? So let your word find lodging that bears fruit in us, and let that fruit remain. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we've got to be confident in the Word of God and in the great physician, his son, Jesus. And we understand that Jesus has paid the ultimate price, not only for our forgiveness, but for our healing. He purchased our healing with his own blood, sacrificed his life for all of us as a reparation or expiation for our sin. It's an amazing concept in Scripture. And we must never allow our healing to be taken away from us. Speak the confessions of God's word out of your mouth related to healing. When you're reading the passages in the Scripture, like I just read to you, speak it out of your mouth so you can allow the seed of the word of God to be sown and cultivated deep in your own spirit. As I listened for portions yesterday of the memorial service for Reinhard Bonnke, I couldn't help but watch some of the clips before the ceremony, before the memorial service began. And those clips began about an hour before the memorial service. And they showed the thronging, hungry hearts with expectancy. I mean, you could feel it in the atmosphere. They would come by the hundreds and thousands to those meetings in Africa, in places in Nigeria, where the crowds were so large, when you looked across them, you could see to the horizon and still see bodies out there. And there were you couldn't number them. They were numberless. It was incredible. But they were there with hungry hearts. They believed God's word. It was not, we've heard that before, or I'm not sure God still does that today. You know, I can always run to the local doctor and get a quick fix, versus we've got no local doctors, and the only ones we can deal with are witch doctors. We want nothing to do with that. So they come to the Lord with a spirit of expectancy, and they walk away healed and well and strong. I mean, you talk about miracles. Those miracles God wants to do right here. He just doesn't designate them for places in the world where there are people who don't have physicians, right? We must not allow our healing to ever be stolen from us. It's part and parcel. It's a twin to the concept of covenant. What Jesus did on the cross, twofold. He forgave our sins and he healed our diseases. You remember the story when Jesus was dealing with the man who was lowered through the roof to be healed because he was fully and completely paralyzed, incapable of any movement. And they had no way of getting him in before Jesus, so they tore some tiles off the roof. And his friends made sure that he got into the presence of Jesus because the man needed to be well. And Jesus began to talk to him and deal with him. And one of the things he was talking to him about is, your sins be forgiven. And of course, everybody was up in arms. Who do you think you are, forgiving sins? And Jesus begins to go back and forth with him. What's the difference? Whether I say to him, pick up your bed and walk, or your sins be forgiven. It's all a part of the covenant work of God and the promised work of God to heal us and to make us whole. So when you read it, allow that seed to grow in you. Faith confessions of God's word should be spoken aloud in Jesus' name. Take authority, command your body, your mind, your soul, finances, emotions, spirits of infirmities. There are some in this room tonight who have infirmities. These are illnesses that have troubled you, not just for a week or two, but they're ongoing. They keep coming back and they keep troubling you and sometimes weakening you, and you're struggling with them because you're attacked by them. And they need to do what you say by the authority of God's word in Jesus' name, because you're a child of the King. And we have to know without any doubt the heartbeat of Jesus when it comes to receiving a healing. God wants us well and refreshed. It's his will. Even though Jesus paid for us to be healed, there are still sick and diseased Christians. We get affected by illness. I've learned that there are some simple steps that we can incorporate that help us achieve breakthrough when it comes to healing, one of which is to become familiar with the scripture that relate to physical healing. I need to hear it. I need to read it aloud. I need to own it. I need to believe it was written for me. We can't believe what we don't know. And we must know God's word and must become a part of our spiritual DNA so that we confess it and speak it with authority, because we own it. It's who we are. It's in us. There are Christians in name. Then there are believers who are followers of Jesus. And as believers, we have to be faith possessors when it comes to healing. Believers in the healing power of the word of the living God. This word is alive. It's powerful. It restores. Persuaded in our hearts, God wants us healed and that it's his will to heal his people. If a person doesn't believe that, it makes it very difficult for them to ever get well or overcome any illness. Jesus declared countless times throughout the Gospels to those who stood in need of a miracle, healing or breakthrough, would you believe? Do you believe? Do you have faith? The fear of the supernatural and doubt of the healing ministry of Jesus has to be broken in the Western church's mindset. Even if we confess Christ as Lord, we still have to see this spirit broken. Jesus is still in the healing miracle business. And throughout his earthly ministry, we see him healing, working miracles, teaching and preaching the gospel, casting out evil spirits. It's why I love this text so dearly. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all our iniquities and who heals all our diseases. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Well, I love that truth. Now, this passage is acknowledging the Lord who forgives our sins, who heals us, and it doesn't say that God will only forgive some sins. It doesn't say that God's only going to heal some diseases. It emphatically says all iniquities are forgiven and all diseases are healed. So what a great benefit to know that God desires to heal all our diseases and forgive all of our sins. That's a benefit none of us can afford to forget. So as followers of Jesus, to receive total victory in the face of illness, or our body, our mind, our soul, we must believe in the covenant promises of the Lord when it comes to the miracles that he performs. God loves us. God wants to heal us. And in fact, he's looking for those who are coming to him with expectancy, believing that he's able to heal them and restore them. My wife and I have been privileged through our years to be in services beginning in our childhoods, all the way through our adult ministries, to be in meetings where people came with spirit of expectancy. They were hungry. They were ready. They lined up before the doors opened, sometimes for more than an hour. They couldn't wait to get in to the presence of the Lord collectively because they just knew. It's like the lady with the issue said, if I can just get close enough to touch the hem of his garment, I know I'm going to get what I've come here for. And we watched miracle after miracle happen in those kinds of meetings simply because people came with hungry, expectant, faith-filled hearts. When we first gave our lives and hearts to Jesus, what did we have to believe? We believed that he lived, that he died, he was buried. We believed that he was risen from the dead or rose from the dead on the third day, resurrected with power over sin, death, and the grave. That's something we confessed with our whole heart, our mind, our soul, with our mouths. We got in the water baptismal tank and we said, I'm a follower of Jesus, right? It caused us to be known as a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. Likewise, with healing and receiving miracles, we must believe in our heart that not only are our sins forgiven, but all of our sicknesses and diseases are also healed, because that's why Jesus suffered before he went to the cross, that we might live and have eternal life. So let me encourage you, read his word, confess healing that you find when you read the word, and meditate on God's truth. The Hebrew expression for the word meditation is to mumble the words out loud. It's an interesting idiom in the way that the Hebrew has multiple definitions, but one of the idioms is mumble forth or speak out through meditation the promises of God over our own lives for healing. So talk to yourself. We must know and take personally the promises of God. Meditation on God's word is our spiritual medication. And we need to learn how to do that. Permit the Holy Spirit to encourage you in your heart to meditate, mumble out each day during this 21-day Daniel fast. Learn to start speaking the word of God aloud over your life. Amen? Mumble out the promises of the Lord from his word daily. And as you read God's word on the topic of healing and his promises that are related to healing, personalize those passages. Insert your name into those passages, particularly if you're struggling with something you need healing concerning, and mumble aloud and seize the moment of healing that belongs to you. Don't believe the lies of the enemy that healing and miracles don't happen anymore. Because I can tell you, not only I, but many in this room are witnesses to the fact that God still heals today. I wish we had the time to have some of them on the platform. Amen. Caleb, you are an example of how God heals. When he restored your health and he dealt with a matter that doctors could not deal with, but Dr. Jesus did, right? So you're here, you're studying for ministry, you're using your gifts and your talents. My goodness. You're still healed. How many years has it been? 8 years. Diagnosed with what? Stage 4 lung cancer. Okay. Yeah. When they diagnosed you and they didn't give you much hope, and you were in the best of clinics for that treatment, and as I understand it, you walked out of there the only, at the time, stage 4 lung cancer survivor. Others at that level They know there was nothing, there's nothing can do. Cured. Yeah. You have that hanging on your wall? I would post that on my wall. I'd look at that every morning and say, thank you, Lord, for another day, right? All right. God still heals today, okay? He's still, healing is our inheritance, amen? And there is no truth in the lie that the enemy has downloaded somehow into the Western church theology that God doesn't do this anymore. There's no truth in that. Healing is our inheritance. We need to meditate, speak out the word that we're reading. By speaking the word that we walk in, we speak God's word with authority over our illnesses. Rather than get fearful of them, we need to say God's word is greater than you are and has authority over you. Healing is a part of the kingdom and the nature of our Heavenly Father. So you muzzle the lies of the enemy and you confess the truth of healing with out of your mouth because you first owned it in your heart. Establish it every day with healing confessions of God's word. Watch how God begins to work miracles in your body. You have to have faith that Jesus already paid the price for my healing because by his stripes I am what? Healed. The expression of our faith related to our healing precedes the healing miracle. We must have faith before we receive the miracle. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. These eyes I have in these sockets don't see this. The eyes I have in my new spirit man, they see it, right? So what are you hoping for? It requires now faith to activate the evidence that we're hoping for. Healing is a process, and it manifests into divine manifestation of the good things that God brings us. Occasionally, I think we get healing and miracles mixed up and think sometimes they're one and the same, and sometimes there is crossover, but healing and miracles can be very different. As listed as gifts of the Spirit, they're listed separately in those categories. Often healing is a progressive miracle. Often a miracle is an instant healing. So I believe faith is the substance of things hoped for, right? The evidence of things not seen. Without faith, fear becomes a substance abuser. The substance gets abused when we allow fear to paralyze us and we can't grab hold of what God promised us. For instance, if a person is in an accident treated, they begin to recover and medications are prescribed and some therapies applied and the person begins to pray and trust God that they can make the progress needed for full recovery. One day they return to normal. But on the other hand, if a person is also in a terrible accident and they become paralyzed and the person is critical and they're in need of a miracle, and it doesn't matter how many medications are applied, how much specialized doctor care is given, while they may recover from some other injuries they've received in that accident, there may also be the incapability any longer for them to be mobile. They can't walk anymore. This person not only needs to be healed, but they need the power and the strength of the Lord to perform a miracle, to give them restore to them the ability to be mobile. Just standing around confessing and declaring we're healed doesn't mean that the miracle or the healing has taken place. It takes a partnership between the heart and the mouth and its confession for healings and miracles to take place. And there are many individuals who think that simply if I confess the word of God, that is sufficient for healing and miracles to take place. Many times they've confessed that healing, spoken it out, but they haven't received the healing, and perhaps it's because they have never truly learned to believe what they are declaring. We have to step into the realm of faith because we own what God has said in his word, then boldly declare it out of our mouths. Confessing with our mouth, what is in our mind, speaking from our heart, those are the keys to the miracles of God and breakthroughs that we receive. So we have to learn to think correctly. And we've got a battle there because, again, we got an old nature and a new nature, and they're in constant turmoil one against the other. The Bible says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So if you're entertaining doubts and fear and you're paralyzed by them, it's going to be very difficult to manifest faith under that condition. You've got to neutralize those fears and neutralize those doubts by the power of God's word taking over the core of your thinking process. Listen, the Father wants his people to become healed conscious rather than sick conscious, because we tend to default to that negativity part of us. We have to have a mentality that believes we have been healed by the power of God's word, right? So we set in motion the manifestation of healing that we believed in our hearts, then we confess that out of our mouth. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we learn the discipline of meditating and confessing and reading and studying and owning God's word pertaining to healing and the ministry of healing that Jesus promised. We ask the Holy Spirit, teach us the principles of it. Teach me what I need to learn in this process while waiting for my healing, because he, like a good doctor, prescribes exactly what you need that may differ from what I need when it comes to receiving my healing. There are things that need to change in my life that he's talking to me about in the process while I'm waiting to be well. People can give up on their quest for personal healing because they haven't seen the instantaneous result. There hasn't been an instant miracle. Well, no one making a New Year's resolution to get healthy goes to the gym and wants to get in better shape. They don't expect a total transformation overnight. They don't expect to walk in there tomorrow morning early and walk out. It's not going to happen. What farmer plants seed in the cultivated soil and then tomorrow morning expects to get up and ready for the harvest? It doesn't happen. It's a gradual process. We obtain the result we expect and believe in our heart and confess with our mouth the word of the living God. And you receive results by commanding and ordering and speaking to the mountain that you face of illness daily until it's diminished into a valley. And you've broken it down. It's also true of healing and the word of healing, or God's word. There are times when people are instantaneously healed, and we need to call that what it is. It's a miracle. A process miracle is a healing where it takes a time period before the healing is complete. So we must understand that if we're healed instantly or gradually healed, it is still God who is our healer. Right? Once healed, the enemy may attempt to come back and steal the healing from us, physically trying to once again get an edge in our lives. We will not give up. We will not accept what he's trying to do to damage us. We will fight back. We will take the necessary steps so we can, along with Jesus' help, see his works destroyed. It is the design of our enemy to rob us of our joy, of our peace, of our sanity. Because he's come, Jesus said, to steal and to kill and to destroy. He said, but I've come to bring you life, and that you might have it more abundantly. So if the enemy attacks us with illness, and then you're diagnosed with a specific ailment, listen, we must remember our great physician has not come only to diagnose us, but to bring the healing solution, which is the prognosis. I want you well. And Jesus wants to see you healed and made well and whole. So when I pray for someone's miracle, and then there's a healing or there's a breakthrough, or there's an answer, I know that I can't do any of that without the Holy Spirit's guidance, because I'm not the healer. No, I'm not. It's not in my name that the person that I'm praying for is healed. It's in the name of Jesus and Jesus alone that people are healed. Is Jesus himself, maybe through the vessel he's working through at that moment by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that, but it's he who is working the miracle or the healing. He always gets the glory because it's only his finished work that heals. not anything that we have done. It's only what he has done. So the primary source of healing is love and compassion. Because the scripture says, and when Jesus went out and he saw a great multitude, he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. Jesus, would you look across this room, have compassion on us, and heal the sick in this room? You did it before. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Would you not heal us too? There was a blind man in the Word of God who confessed that Jesus was Lord without ever being able to see him personally. Never saw him work a miracle, never saw Jesus heal anybody because he was blind. And the blind man received his healing by faith by hearing about the healings that Jesus had performed. In other words, he heard what Jesus had done for others. And when he heard Jesus is passing by where I am right now, he cried out, called his name, I need your attention. Jesus, son of David, pay attention to me. For instance, when someone stays too long and doesn't pay their rent, we appeal to the court to have that person removed from the property that we might own. And the court will issue and serve a 90-day notice of eviction. So tonight, let's prophetically declare with the power of the Holy Spirit that an eviction notice has been issued and it's been served against diseases and illnesses and oppression and spirits of infirmity and depression that causes recurring pain and suffering, and say in the name of Jesus, you need to get out. Amen. We command those tonight. Jesus is here to heal and to set us free. That's what this table's about. It's not a ritual. It's not just, well, you have to do this because it's kind of a religious, churchy thing we do. No, we're coming to the table for the reality of the bread and the reality of the cup. Draw close to him during the Daniel fast. Allow the river of his love to flow into you and through you by the Spirit. Don't give up if you don't see an instantaneous result. Persevere until you see and begin to know, my body is getting better. It's getting well. I challenge you, try the Father at his word. Remind God of his promises regarding healing. Recite them aloud, not because God has a deficient memory. God hasn't forgotten what he's promised, but to assure him, we stand in agreement with each one of his promises. In Jesus' name, I break off of you every bit of shame and guilt and regret due to any sickness or condition that you've experienced. Be free tonight in Jesus' name. Speak the word. God didn't curse you or cause you to go through this so that he could put you under his thumb. He's not mad at you because he's allowed some of these things to happen. We have to understand that these matters happen in life because we live on a broken planet. And it's a part of the system of the curse that we all live under. But this communion service is the time we arise out of life's rut and we soar above the odds and we say, we declare who we are in Christ. We are winners. And tonight is our night for miracles and healing. Amen? Amen. Let me close with this thought. I need to close with this thought. It's an account in the Word of God about the Roman centurion who had a servant who was ill unto death. And the centurion went and traveled until he found Jesus. He needed his assistance because he said, I care about my servant. I want my servant well. He had a compassionate heart. He knew Jesus was the one who could take care of this. No doubt he had heard of the ministry of Jesus, as many in the Roman Empire had, or occupiers of Israel. And he made a request when he found Jesus. And Jesus offered, he said, I'll go to your home. Centurion, I'll come home with you and I'll perform the healing you've requested. And the Roman centurion suggested, you can perform the healing at a distance. You don't even have to show up at my house. The centurion said to Jesus, Lord, I'm not even worthy that you come under the roof of my house, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. Oh my goodness. Can you imagine a Roman centurion who worshiped multiple gods in his teaching years, growing up years. The centurion obviously believed in the power of Jesus and obviously understood the authority that Jesus possessed. And he heard about it. He only heard about it, but he went seeking him. It was enough to grab hold of him. And when his servant grew ill, he said, I'm going to go on a search until I find this Jesus. And listen, if he did not, he would not have come. If he didn't believe, he would never travel that far to seek Jesus out, to ask him to perform a miracle of healing. So he recognized and understood Jesus for who he was, as the one who can speak it and it's taken care of. Now, the Roman centurion had great authority in Israel. He had a multitude, 100 soldiers under his jurisdiction that he commanded. He comes to Jesus how? In humility, and subjected himself under Jesus' kingdom authority. That's how we need to come to Jesus. We come to Jesus under his kingdom authority. And the other remarkable matter about this man, this centurion, is his faith in the word of Christ and the authority of that word itself that produced the healing he requested. This centurion's faith amazed Jesus because he believed Jesus' words before he personally ever saw the works. He had faith to believe for somebody's healing just by the words of Jesus before the healing ever took place. And Jesus delighted in the faith of that centurion. I mean, it made his day. He was excited. He wants us to become like the Roman centurion, to believe the commands of healing throughout the Word of God, to believe for our own healing and our own miracle. Amen? Even before we see it. In fact, when Jesus was done sending the word to that servant in that home, however many miles away it was, when he returned home, the servant was well, whole, taken care of. Jesus made this statement, I have not found faith like this in all of Israel. Now, that wasn't a positive thing to say about the church of that day, was it? The church of that day certainly had its struggles with believing God was manifested in human form and standing right in front of them. I've not found faith like this anywhere in Israel. Seeing through the lens of faith gives us access to healing and breakthrough because we possess it. And we possess it before we see it manifested. The centurion understood that all Jesus had to do was speak the word. Because this Jesus, he is the authority of God's word. Just say the word, and it's done. It's authorized. You don't have to show up. Just send your word there, right? Why? Because this man who was in authority had people under his own command who had to obey every command he gave them. In like manner, the man recognized Jesus is in complete authority. He can command healing to take place for his ill servant. That sickness is going to respond and obey Jesus' command regardless of the distance. There's power in the word of God. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. And you'll go free, leaping with joy like calves led out to pasture. I love that. That's so beautifully written. The Son of Righteousness brings healing in his wings. Your healing is hand-delivered by heaven's hosts of angels. Fresh healing fire comes upon those who seek the supernatural touch of God. So as you believe and you revere the manifested work of Jesus, He comes like the sun with healing touch. And you arise, possessing the healing in his wings, and you are free, leaping with joy like a calf that's excited when let out to pasture. I remember back in public school days, many of us couldn't wait for recess when the teachers would let us get to go outside, right? We were running and yelling and we're excited and finally get some fresh air and burn off some energy. And we'd go out and have some good time, rolling around and having some fun just to be free out of the classroom. You're going to be like a little child, excited to finally be free because of the healing power of God that breaks the power of sickness and disease and pain. Jesus is astounded by the centurion's faith. He didn't need to see healing first to believe. The centurion's faith to travel this distance to Jesus was enough faith in itself. I'm going to go find him to ask Jesus, just speak the word. We just need to speak and confess and command healing the same way, because we own the word. The centurion found where the word of God was. It was manifested in Jesus, the person, and faith activated Jesus and the power of his word to heal his servant. So you might go to a family physician when we don't feel well and get some meds. Like manner, we need to go to the word of God and expect him to give us the antidote to deal with the dilemma that we're in. The centurion went to a physician named Jesus. He wanted him to prescribe for his ill servant a dose of healing power, and it instantaneously healed the servant. Many Christians today, like religious leaders of Jesus' day, would rather see a sign first, then I'll believe. But true faith is having and knowing that the evidence of healing is already done without having to see it, because God promised it. I may not see it here yet, but I see it here. Amen? When you were healed and delivered, you saw it here before you saw it here. Amen? Because you see it through lenses that have 20/20 vision once you get the word of God manifesting in your spirit. Jesus commended the centurion's expression of faith for believing in his authority, and Jesus responded to that faith. By the time the centurion got home, the servant was totally well. Amazing. I believe that. Now faith activates now healings. Daily command that you're healed. Trust and believe that the words of healing the Holy Spirit speaks through you will bring about what you desire. If you do what we do early in the morning, every day, and break that bread and drink that cup, we declare healing over each other's life. Come to Jesus like the Roman centurion. Needing Jesus to just speak the word. Just say the word, Lord, and it's done. Anybody in the room ready tonight to receive the dose of heaven that he's decreed for you? Anybody? I stand here tonight touching and agreeing with you now for spiritual, because spiritual healing is important, not just physical. Emotional. We need emotional healing among those members of the body of Christ that have been harmed and injured and damaged in life's experiences. And they're walking wounded among us. My God not only heals bodies, he heals hearts. He heals brokenness. In fact, Lord willing, here in a few weeks, we want to start a class for those who want to learn how to help others. Family members, friends who are struggling with mental illness and all kinds of manifestations that come with that. You know what? Just like there are illnesses of the body, there are illnesses of the mind. And we would be remiss as the church to be the caboose on this train. We need to be the engine. And the engine that says, we have a remedy. We have God's word. We have his principles. And we can help minister to people who struggle with emotional and mental illnesses. And sometimes we kind of, we don't want to talk about that. We don't want to sweep that under the rug. We don't want to say something. No. I'm not ashamed to say, hey, you know, pray for me. I've got something physically happening. Sometimes if you've been harmed or damaged or abused and you've been affected, traumatized, we need to be able to minister to you and reach out to you in love to show you from God's word how through prayer and scripture and care and truth and recovery, God can restore. Say, I don't believe God can do that. I do, because I watched the young man who had nothing left in his ability cognitively to function, who lost his ability to lose, because he lost his scholarship to college and university because he could no longer play the instrument by which he obtained that scholarship. He was totally gone. There was nobody home. You would ask him a question, it'd take 15 minutes for him to give you a reasonably good answer. He fried himself. I was totally fried, gone, nobody home. And I watched God do a progressive miracle of healing in him. And I'll never forget the time we rejoiced because we watched the progression from a kid who would walk into church, all disheveled, hard to respond. He had, you could ask him, how are you doing? And he'd just kind of stare and never give you a straight answer. And by the time he got the word okay out, you'd be, you know, ready to go sit down somewhere. And one Sunday morning and the restorative healing process over several months, he walks into church and he's all cleaned up and he's dressed in nice clothes. And I looked at him and I said, Gene, who told you to dress like that? You've never come to church looking like that before. He said, I just wanted to. He started to talk normally. I said, wow. He said, I just felt like I owed it to God. He cleaned up my life, so I should clean up my body and show myself here more presentable. And then my wife and I got to rejoice when he invited us not only to his graduation, because he went back to college, got his scholarship renewed, and became a person who played in the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, because this kid could play like nobody's business. He could make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And I looked at that and I said, that's the restorative ability of God to restore the mind, not only the body, and give you back what the enemy stole. So a few weeks, we want to start a ministry to help those who have connection with those who have mental illness in your families, among friends you work with and people you care about, but you don't know how to deal with it. How do I don't know what to say. I don't know how to respond. We want to give you the tools and give you the ability to know these are the good things you should say, these are the things you shouldn't say. And just like when we went through military chaplaincy training or law enforcement chaplaincy training, they taught us these are the things as first responders you don't say, because we have instinctive ways of trying to overtalk ourselves and we say the wrong things. And we're going to learn how to not say some things and say other things to encourage people that there's a God who loves them and wants to see them healed. Amen? I'm excited about that. We can help more people. Amen. That's what the work of the ministry is about, helping people. We should just be thanking God for the opportunities that we have. And faith activates. Come to Jesus as the Roman centurion tonight. You may have had pain, abuse, illness, sickness, setback. I serve the God of comeback. Everybody has some form of setback. I serve a God who specializes in comebacks. And there's nobody who does it better than my God. A depressive spirit of guilt, some shame, some condemnation. I stand tonight declaring before you to believe that you can take up your bed, no matter what that looks like, and walk in total victory, because you're confessing over your life the promises of God's word. Amen. The promise. Why don't you lift your hands and give Jesus all the glory, because he's your healer. He's your healer. His body was broken so you could be healed. And his wounds heal our wounds. Hallelujah for that. For he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And by his stripes, we are healed. I remember walking into the judgment hall, Pilate, and our tour guide, Danny, said, "Do you know where you're standing right now?" I said, "Well, yeah, kind of the courtroom, yeah." He said, "It's just been a few months ago that what you're standing on right now has been unearthed. Another layer was removed. You're standing on the very tiles that Jesus was whipped, where Jesus was whipped and his body was shredded with 39 stripes. I didn't know what to say. I was speechless. There was a sense of holiness that came over us in that group that moment. All I felt like doing is falling down on the tile and thanking God. Right here in this place, my Lord and Savior willingly took a beating that could kill many human beings. He split his back open to such a degree that bone was showing. Shredded him. And the doctor, the physician who wrote the book, None of These Diseases, said, "You know what's kind of interesting is I compare the diseases we've discovered in the human race with the 39 stripes that Jesus took. There are 39 major diseases in the world with a lot of subcategories under them, but 39 major ones. So for every stripe he took, he healed all our diseases.